just like a tree that's planted by the water.
We want to welcome everyone to Scott Parker Ministries. It is our desire that each person come into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man. Let us open up with prayer.
Father, I just give you praise. I just give you glory, for there's none like it unto you. The great I am, who sits on the sides of the north in Mount Zion, the circle of the earth. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior. We thank you, Father, for your glorious Holy Spirit, for he is the eyes of the Lord who run to and fro throughout all the earth to show himself strong on those whose heart is perfect towards you. Father, we just thank you for making our hearts right. Well, thank God. I want to wish everyone a happy Easter. And on this day that we celebrate the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, I want to speak on Yeshua HaMashiach, which is Jesus Messiah. And I'm speaking to the Jews, and I'm going to be speaking to you out of the writings of the Old Covenant as well as the New. And let's dive into this and let's see what it says about the Messiah. And I'm going to show you and I'm going to prove to you that he's already come. And if you have an open mind and if you're willing to accept what's written in the prophets of Israel, God can open your understanding to what your own prophets have foretold. Go to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God. And there's only one God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Now, this scripture clearly shows us all to see the child that is to be born to sit upon the throne of David is and to not only rule Israel, but taking over all the governments of the whole world, will be called the Mighty God. Now, the Jews believe there's coming a Messiah from the lineage of David, from the tribe of Judah, who will be born in Bethlehem, but most do not believe Jesus of Nazareth was that child written in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, which I just read. But I'm going to see if I can convince the Jews by the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven that Jesus of Nazareth was their Messiah. Turn to Psalm 132:11. The Lord has sworn in truth unto David, he will not turn from it. Of the fruit of thy body will I sit upon thy throne. Now pay attention. Right here, the Lord from heaven is prophesying to King David and says to David, of the fruit of your body or your offspring, I, the Lord, will sit upon your throne. Do you see that? The Lord from heaven is saying, I'm going to be born a male child, grow up to sit upon the throne of King David. That's what he just said. Let's read that again. Psalm 132:11. The Lord has sworn in truth unto David, he will not turn from it. Of the fruit of thy body will I, the Lord, sit upon thy throne. So the Lord's saying to David, I'm going to become your offspring, be born of a woman, grow up, and the government shall be upon my shoulder, and my government shall have no end. So let's read that again. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. The Lord of the warfare is going to bring this to pass. You know what that's saying? The Lord is going to go forth in warfare to take over all the kingdoms of this world. That's how it's going to be brought about. So I just read you two scriptures from the Old Covenant, the Hebrew writings, that God is going to become incarnate. See, God was manifest in flesh. He was human and divine. Let's look at some scriptures, the New Covenant of the Incarnation. 1 Timothy 3:16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Now, we Christians know this is Jesus of Nazareth. And you Jews know from the writings of the prophets of Israel that the saw and the Psalms that the child that's to be born, born to be your Messiah is the Lord from heaven. If you believe Psalm 132, 11. Okay. John, let's look at John chapter 1. This is the New Covenant, verse 1, International Standard Version. In the beginning, the Word existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, here's two persons. Here's God. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. Through Him were all things made, and apart from Him, nothing was made that was made. That's the Word that was God. Now, we see God is more than just one divine person. And you Jews will say, well, that's the Christian New Covenant. We Jews don't have a New Covenant. Oh, yes, you do, and I'm going to show you that also. But first, let's look at where God was more than one person in the Old Covenant. And this was written in the Torah. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, King James Version. God said, let us, plural, more than one person, make man in our image after our, plural again, likeness. So let us make man in our image and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creep on the earth. Now, I Googled this to see what the Jews believed about this scripture, and it came up. They believed God was talking to the angels, but it doesn't say that. Okay. Genesis 3:22. And the Lord God said, behold, the man has become as one of us to know good and evil. And now lest he put forth his hand and take also the tree of life and eat and live forever. Okay. Here again, God said, the man has become as one of us. Now, if you don't add anything to that scripture or take anything away from these scriptures, you'll see God is describing himself as more than one being. Now, let's see if we can find more scriptures in the Old Testament about the plurality of God. Isaiah 48:16, complete Jewish Bible. Come close to me and listen to this. Since the beginning, I have not spoken in secret. Since the time things begin to be, I have been there. And now, Adonai, Elohim, have sent me in his spirit. Okay. He's saying God sent this person, and this person is declaring that he's been there from the beginning. All right. See? This person that was with Elohim, which is God, and this person was with Elohim in the beginning. This isn't an angel or any created being because they weren't with God in the beginning. Here again, showing God is a plural being. Let's read that same scripture, New Living Translation. Come closer and listen to this. From the beginning, I've told you plainly what would happen. And now the Sovereign Lord and His Spirit have sent me with this message. Okay? This person that was in the beginning said the Sovereign Lord. That was the Father. So the Lord sent this person to speak. And this person was in the beginning with God. Just like we read in the New Testament, John 1. And if you go back to verse 1, this person is speaking all through this chapter. And look what he says in verses 12 and 13. New Living Translation. Listen to me, O family of Jacob, Israel, my chosen one. I alone am God. This is that same person speaking that said, Elohim sent him. I alone am God, the first and the last. It was my hand that laid the foundation of the earth, and my right hand has spread out the heavens above. When I call out the stars, they all appear in order. Now, if you study this out, you'll see the same person is speaking. And then you get to verse 16. Come closer and listen to this. From the beginning, I've told you plainly what would happen. And now the Sovereign Lord and His Spirit have sent me with this message. See, the Lord sent this person who says He is the Lord also and created all things. And we saw in Isaiah 9:6 that the child born to rule all nations was given a divine title as the mighty God. Once again, showing that God is more than one person. Turn to Isaiah 6:8. And I also heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and whom will go for us? And then said, here I am, send me. Okay. Did you catch that? The Lord said, who will go for us? us, the Lord, go for it, plural. Okay. God will reveal these things, but if you just take these words, and this is written in the Hebrew language, and you take them at face value, that's what it's saying. Psalm 110:1. David wrote, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool." Now let's read what Jesus said about that in the New Testament. Chapter 20, verse 41. And he said unto them, and Jesus talking to the Jews, he said, "How say they that Christ is David's son?" Verse 42. And David himself said for the book of Psalm, "The Lord said unto my Lord, sit down my right hand." Now, we know Christ was the son of David, but clearly David is saying in this psalm, there are two divine persons, because David's Lord is the Lord from heaven. And David said, the Lord said to him. All right? Now, you'll have to go back and read it a couple of times, keep reading it, and you'll get it. Here's another messianic prophecy showing the divinity of the Messiah. Psalm 45, verse 6. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of thy kingdom is the right scepter. Thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Therefore God, thy God, have anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. See, these are all bringing out that the Messiah was that child born to rule all nations. And he was the mighty God. Okay, now up until the time Jesus of Nazareth came, Jewish rabbis agreed that Isaiah 53 was about the Messiah. But after the gospel began to spread, they saw the resemblance of Jesus going to the cross in Isaiah 53. And I read where arguments began between the rabbis concerning this. So they quit reading Isaiah 53 in their synagogues. It became the forbidden chapter. Now, this is just some of the research that I've done in this subject. They wouldn't talk about it. Okay, so let's look at how we not only, I'll show the resemblance between Jesus going to the cross and Isaiah 53, but show you precisely that it was Jesus the Christ in chapter 53 of Isaiah. First in the New Covenant, turn to Acts 8:30. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, that's Isaiah, and said, "Understandest what thou readest?" And he said, "How can I, except some man should guide me?" And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And the place of the scripture which he read was this: "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb dumb before his shearers, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life was taken for the earth." The eunuch was reading these verses out of Isaiah 53. Now, verse 34. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, "I pray thee, whom speakest the prophet this of himself or some other man?" Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scriptures that this eunuch was reading out of Isaiah 53 and preached unto him Jesus. So here is a scriptural reference that Isaiah 53 is about Jesus of Nazareth. Turn to Matthew 27. And saying, "Thou that destroyest the temple and build of it in 3 days, save thyself, if thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross." This is the people railing on Jesus as he's hung on the cross. "Likewise also the chief priests mocking him with the scribes and elders said, He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusts in God, let him deliver him now, if he will have him, for he said, I am the Son of God. The thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth. Now, from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land till the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Now, turn to Psalm 22, and we'll see this is Jesus on the cross. He said the same thing. Verse 1, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? That was Matthew 27:46. And here, Psalm 22, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? So this is clearly Jesus on the cross. Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? Now, this is when the sin of the world was placed upon Jesus. And Jesus knew the Father was forsaking him at that point. And God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Jesus, and this was Jesus taking our place. And therefore, God the Father, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, forsook the Son. Now, skip down to verse 16. Now, see, this is easier for us Christians to see because we have a revelation, or those of us that have a revelation of the Trinity. It's a little more difficult for the Jews to see this, but we're going to keep laying this out. And you'll get it. Go to verse 16, Psalm 22. For dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. Here again, this is showing Jesus on the cross. See, Jesus the Christ, hands and feet were nailed to the cross. Now go back two verses to verse 14. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax is melted, melted in the midst of my bowel. So while Jesus was hanging on the cross, all his bones began to come out of joint. Did you ever hear that? And even the Christians, their traditional pictures of Jesus on the cross is a man that has his form. They don't have a realistic picture of what Jesus looked like on the cross. So his bones all began to come out of joint because the sin of the world was laid upon him. And he became that lamb that took away the sin of the world. That's what all this sin laid upon Jesus' body did to him. His bones came out of joint and he lost his form. Turn to Leviticus chapter 4, verse 32. If he bring a lamb as his offering for a sin offering, he shall bring a female without blemish, and he shall lay his hand on the head, on his head of the sin offering, transferring symbolically his guilt to the sacrifice, and kill it as a sin offering in the place where he killed the burnt offering. See, Jesus became a sin offering on the cross. He also bore the sickness of the world on his body, and all this caused all his bones to come out of joint. Okay, now turn to Isaiah 52:14, and I'm going to read out of the New International Version. See, my servant will act wisely. He will be raised and lifted up and highly exalted. Now, this is where Jesus headed. He's going to come forth and establish a kingdom and rule over all the world, and he'll be highly exalted. So, this servant here is going to be highly exalted. And that's the Messiah coming into his kingdom. But first, look what he has to go through. Verse 14. Just as there were many who were appalled at him, his appearance was so disfigured beyond that of any human being, and his form marred more than beyond, or his human being, and his form was marred beyond human likeness. Well, that's a description of a person. That's Psalm 22. Every bone came out of joint. Let's read this same Isaiah 52:14, the New Living Translation. But many were amazed when they saw him. His face was so disfigured, and he seemed hardly human. And from his appearance, one would scarcely know he was a man. Now, go to Isaiah 53. Who had believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Okay, this is Isaiah's report of the Messiah. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form. He had no form. Did you know that Jesus on the cross had no form nor comeliness? When we shall see him, there's no beauty that we should desire. Jesus lost his form when all his bones came out of joint on the cross. So this servant here, Jesus, had no form. He was disfigured that he didn't even look like a man. And that's the description of Psalm 22, whose bones all came out of joint. Now let's continue on in verse 3. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid as it were our face from him. And he was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he had borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. This is Jesus dying for our sins. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Okay, this is Jesus of Nazareth, who was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. And yes, the Messiah came to establish an everlasting kingdom with judgment and justice and everlasting peace. But he had to first die for every person's transgression and be raised again to justify every person. And then he could make them righteous before God. Okay, see, this is the revelation that the Jews need to get from the old covenant. That the Messiah was going to go through all this and get the understanding of why he went through this. It said he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace. And continue to read all through Isaiah 53. I didn't put all of it in here because I would make this podcast too long. And it's going to take some time for you to study all these scriptures, see and show you the divinity of the Messiah and show you what he came to do. And then it will all begin to make sense. And let's go ahead and put a song here. Let you just soak some of this in. We'll do Via Della Rosa by Pamela Pontiff.
Down the Via Dolorosa in Jerusalem that day, the soldiers tried to clear the narrow street, but the crowd pressed in to see a man condemned to die on Calvary. He was bleeding from a beating, there were stripes upon his back, and he wore a crown of thorns upon his head. And he bore with every step the scorn of those who cried out for his death. Down the Via Della Rosa, called the way of suffering, like a lamb came the Messiah, Christ the King. But he chose to walk that road out of his love for you and me. Down the Via Dolorosa, all the way to Calvary. Por la Via Dolorosa, tres días en Jerusalén, los soldados le aprean paso a Jesús. Mas la gente se acercaba para ver a que llevaba aquella cruz. Por la Via Dolorosa, que es la Via del la Via Dolorosa, al Calvario ya morí. The blood that would cleanse the souls of all men made its way through the heart of Jerusalem. Oh, and me down the Via Dolorosa all the way to Calvary.
Now, for all you Jews out there, I want you to turn to Jeremiah 31:31. I'm going to show you that the God of Israel, Jehovah, makes a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Okay, because as I was studying this out, I saw that many of the Jews believe that the new covenant that was put in place was for the Gentiles, not the Jews. But that's not what Jeremiah 31 says. And you Jews are still living under the old covenant. Jeremiah 31:31. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. See, that this new covenant that came in place, and by the way, it prophesies about the one crying in the wilderness. I forgot where that was. And that was John the Baptist, and he was the forerunner of Christ, the Messiah, and then Jesus came after him. There's much more I can say about this. Okay. Some of the Jews did receive the new covenant, and then the new covenant, the gospel of Christ, went to the Gentiles. So the New Testament was brought forth for the Jews and then spread to the Gentiles. Okay, turn to Mark 13. And as he went out of the temple, you have to understand, I'm putting this together on the run, all right? I'm working full time. I've been working for the last 3 weeks, 7 days a week. So I don't have a lot of time to study all this out. I put this together during the night and a little bit in the mornings. And so I would lay it out much better, and I'm sure I will in the days to come. Anyway, go to Mark 13. And as he went out of the temple, one of the disciples said to him, Master, see what manner of stones and what buildings are here? And Jesus answered and said to him, Seest thou these great buildings? There shall not be left one stone upon another, shall not be thrown down. Now here Jesus is prophesying of the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem. And I believe Jesus is about 33 years old, which would have been 33 AD. Now turn to Daniel 9:25. This is going to blow you Jews away because it's going to clearly show you your Messiah has already come. And I'm going to read out of the Amplified Bible. So you are to know and to understand that from the assurance of the command to restore and to rebuild Jerusalem till the coming of the Messiah, the Anointed One, the Prince, there shall be 7 weeks of years and 62 weeks of years, and it will be built again with the city, plaza, and moat, even in times of trouble. Then after the 62 weeks of years, the Anointed One will be cut off and deny his messianic kingdom and have nothing and no one to defend him, and the people of the other prince who is to come will destroy the city and the sanctuary, and it will end, and its end will come with a flood. Even to the end, there will be war, desolations. Desolations are determined. Now we know that General Titus came in 70 AD, and he was that prince, and he destroyed Jerusalem and the sanctuary. And it clearly says this event was going to happen until Or it clearly says this event is not going to happen until Messiah is cut off. And you go back and study that, and you'll see that. Messiah was to come, and then after that, Jerusalem was going to be destroyed. And that was in 70 AD. Okay? And it's already happened. Let's read that Daniel 9:25-26, New Living Translation. Now listen and understand. Seven sets of weeks plus 62 sets of seven will pass from the time the command is given to rebuild Jerusalem and a ruler, the Anointed One, comes. Jerusalem will be rebuilt with streets and strong defenses despite the perilous times. And after the period of 62 sets of weeks, the anointed one will be killed, appearing to have accomplished nothing. And a ruler will arise whose army will destroy the city and the temple. The end will come with a flood and with war, and misery are decreed from that time to the very end. See, here it clearly says the anointed one, the Messiah, was cut off. He was killed. And this is before 70 AD. Then General Titus came with his armies. So all you Jews out there, I'm reading the writings of your prophets. And after you get it established in your heart, you're going to go, oh my God. That's what it says. The Messiah has already come. And now you're going to have to go back over these scriptures and go, who was he? And what about the scriptures about his reign and kingdom? See, because many of you believe he's coming to establish a kingdom and righteousness and justice and everlasting peace. And he is. And he did come, but you didn't know what he had to do first to bring about that kingdom. Okay, so it states he was cut off, he died, but he did accomplish the purposes of God. And his eternal kingdom is coming. And it's coming. I'll say this. After the fullness of the Gentiles come in, all Israel be saved. Okay? So, during the time described by Daniel the prophet in 12:1, a time of trouble such as never before, the Lord will go forth, taking over all the nations, and the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our Lord. And you can find that in the book of Revelation. And of his Christ. And as I see scripture, all Israel will be saved during this time. Okay? So, what is prophesied in Isaiah 9:6 is beginning to slowly unfold. And everything I can see is it's going to begin to come forth during the Great Tribulation. And it appears to me, and I said this, I think, last week or week before that, where it says, when the time of the Gentiles has been fulfilled, then all Israel will be saved. And the Lord is going to go forth, taking over all the kingdoms of this world until the very end of the tribulation, that he's coming to get his people. Okay. There is historical evidence of some of the things I've spoken of today. You know, the destroying of the temple and Titus coming and all that, other things. But do you know what Hebrews 11 says? Verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Okay, let's read that in the easy-to-read version. Faith is what makes real the things we hope for. It is the proof of what we cannot see. Okay, God can reveal all the things I spoke about today, and you can know that Jesus is the Messiah, and he died for the sins of the whole world, and he rose again to justify all of us, Jew and Gentile, and the increase of his government and kingdom will have no end. Let me look at time. Yep, perfect. That's what I thought. Okay. I put out about as much as I have strength to put out, and as much as I know, God continues to open my understanding, to give me more knowledge and understanding of the purposes of God and the ways of God and the end times and his timeline and how all these things fit together. But there's many scriptures that I've spoken by the prophets of old, and many of the Jews believe these things, but they just don't believe they're Jesus. But it's clearly, if you follow this, it's clearly Jesus of Nazareth. And God will convince you of this. But you're going to have to take this in Daniel, all you Jews out there, and say, clearly, Messiah has already come. So, and if you know God, and you know the way God is, he did accomplish his purpose with Messiah. And he is going to accomplish his purpose of bringing everlasting peace and righteousness and judgment. And he will rule the whole world. So it's going to come to pass. And so now you Jews are faced with, who was this man? Who was it? Is Jesus of Nazareth? Is he the one that was written of in Isaiah 53? Is he the one that was written of Psalm 22? And in the days to come, we'll look at this more and more, the references. You know, it said, I think it's Isaiah, I think it's 7:4, it says, behold, I give you a sign, a virgin shall bear a child. That's Jesus of Nazareth. I mentioned about John the Baptist coming forth. He's written about in the New Covenant, the forerunner of Christ. Christ, there's many scriptures that link Jesus back to the Old Testament. That's all I've got for now. I didn't have time to look up any other scriptures. This is all I could come up with today. And I'll go into this more. There's also, this is interesting, there's two genealogies of Jesus in the New Testament. One coming from Joseph, and which he couldn't have come through Joseph because one of Joseph's descendants had a curse on him, and Jesus couldn't rise to the throne of David through him. But you see, Jesus didn't come through Joseph. He came through Mary's lineage. And I read an article on that. I'm not going to go into it now, but that shows how God used the lineage of Mary and how, I don't know enough about it, so I better leave that alone, but how Jesus could rise to the throne of David through Mary's lineage. It's a very interesting article. But that's how God made a way so that Jesus could sit upon the throne of David. And it clearly says, Jews, it clearly says, I, the Lord, will sit upon your throne, David, through the fruit of your loins. It says the Lord of heaven is going to be that Messiah. Clear as day. So that's all I've got for today. If there's any person that's never been saved, Jesus, Messiah, is the Savior of the world. He died for us. He was buried, and he rose again. And you can get to know him by revelation. You can get to know him as Lord and Savior. You receive him now, and you seek after him. And it says faith is the evidence of things not seen. You get in faith, and you mix that faith with the words of God, with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll have evidence that it's real. Okay, so say this prayer after me. Lord Jesus, I just receive you. Repeat it. You can be saved today. You Jews can be saved. If you will receive the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in him, Spirit of Christ will enter into you, and God will begin to reveal to you that he's the Savior of the world and that he was the chosen one, the anointed one, the Messiah, that he was with the Father from the beginning, that he is the Word that was with the Father from the beginning, that he existed with God from the beginning. Okay, say this prayer. Lord Jesus, I just receive you as my Lord and my Savior. I thank you that you died for all my sin. You were the Lamb who came to take away the sin of the world. You died for me. You were buried and you rose from the dead to justify me. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. If you've said that prayer, you're saved. The Spirit of Christ entered into you. Now the New Covenant teaches that salvation is a process. And salvation and being born again are the same thing. They're a process. This is where the body of Christ has missed it. To this day, the charismatics, when I go back and listen to them, they're still teaching that when you receive Jesus, you're born again, you have a new heart. Old things passed away and all things became new. You're a new creature. They've missed it. I'm telling you, they missed it. You don't even begin to deal with the old man till you're baptized in water. And that's the old heart. That's your old heart. That's the old you. And then when you come out of the water, you have to put your old heart off. It says, don't yield to sin. If it all passed away, why does it say don't yield to it? That is the old man. And then it tells you, don't yield to it. And then it tells you later in the epistles, put the old man off. They've missed it. I'm telling you, they missed it. Then if you continue to believe, that salvation continues to work. You continue to be delivered from the old man. He continues to pass away. He slowly passes away. And as he passes away, and as you continue to sow the gospel in your heart, the new man is being formed. I could prove every bit of this to you, but they told you it all was done. And they hinder greatly the purposes of God. I've said this on many podcasts and I'll continue to say it, but they missed it. And I'm not here to put anyone down. I'm here to instruct you in the ways of God. All right, that's all I've got for today. Everybody have a great day. God bless.
Hallelujah, I shall not be moved. Anchored in Jehovah, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the water.